actually, if you don't rhyme the lyrics, that's long time ago. But now, what's that to do with the sermon to make everybody remember it? So I have a pirate joke for you all about the whole thing. So there once was a pirate, and he was asked, "What is your greatest treasure?" Pirate for a while. Or maybe your greatest treasure being the pistols. And I looked at the pistols. I have the pistols. And then I thought, okay, you must have some people holding pistols, that's great. And the pirate, he went on and he said, "Well, if that's your greatest treasure, then what are you willing to do for your greatest treasure?" The pirate said, "I'd sail my ship to the gates of Hades. I'd fight 1,000 men. I'd give me life for your treasure." And I looked at him and said, "You'd give your life for your treasure? Maybe I'd give you life." And he looked and said, "But if you don't, you can't do it." And I said, "I am needy. But if I don't have the pistols, if I don't have the arms, I do not bowl." But as I made this joke, I thought, you know, we have great treasure, and our great treasure is a part of us. And without it, we're not more. We can't be who we are without our great treasure. But throughout history, pirates have always been completely despised and hated. And it's not because they're thieves, it's not because they're dirty. We're all thieves, we're all dirty. My idea is the reason pirates are so hated is because they are treasure hoarders. When they get the treasure, they keep it. And they hide it so nobody else can ever see it, nobody else can ever use it. And so, to the world, the treasure is worthless. But the pirate needs to report it and be happy with his own treasure. And I thought, what about our treasure? What happens when we report our treasure? It begins to be hated by the world. And they start to look down on people who have this great treasure in their hearts. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing joke. But we have a great treasure. We need to give it out to others and share it with everybody we have. That's Mike was talking about gifts before. That's one gift many people have, is sharing their treasure. But one gift that everybody
has. And it's a secret for evangelism. It works every time. And it's an amazing secret. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. This amazing secret is pray.
I'm not a good first step, sorry.
Interesting.
I thought you might have it, yeah, I know. I'm ashamed of you.
I'm ashamed too. There we go.
You're not funny, man.
Sorry. it's old age thing again. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Where was I? All right. So our greatest treasure, our greatest thing to get rid of, not get rid of, to give out this treasure is prayer. It's a secret to evangelism. The greatest secret we all have. Last time I talked to you all, I know you all took great notes and you memorized everything that I said. You wrote it down. But I talked about my little brother and how he said that special forces aren't the heroes. The heroes is the Air Force, because the special forces do nothing. The Air Force is the one that flies and drops the bombs, so the special forces just have to walk forwards. Well, it's the same. It's the same here with prayer. The evangelist only has to just walk forwards. with everybody else praying behind him. They're the ones doing all the work. They're the real heroes. The evangelist just has to walk forwards. So turn with me in your Bibles, finally, to John chapter 15. Okay, so we're going to look in John 15 today, starting in verse 1. And starting in verse 1, we have Jesus talking. And for me, growing up, the entire time growing up, I always envisioned that in the Lord's Supper, we have the Last Supper. Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. They all say, is it I, is it I? And Jesus said, it's the one who's dipping his bread in with me. And then Judas runs out. Then all the disciples and Jesus stand up. They walk out of the room. They go to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is arrested there. And that's always what I imagine. But there's a lot that happens in between those two things. And so we have John 14 and 15. Actually, all the way to 17 before that happens. But so, to start out with, all the disciples have asked Jesus, is it I? That means something. Because they were all questioning themselves. None of them were confident saying, oh, it's not me. I know that for sure. I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. Every one of them asked, is it I? They all had this doubt in their hearts. And so after Judas leaves, then Jesus sets out and he begins to encourage them. In John 14, Jesus gives his disciples a glimpse of heaven, and he encourages them through this glimpse of heaven. Then in John 15, Jesus gives them strength, and he tells them all about the strength. The strength that though he's going to be gone, they can still channel all of Jesus' power. So we're going to read this in John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. We have Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus gives them these instructions, says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me. So what is prayer? The first thing of prayer is oneness with Christ. Prayer is seeking to be one with Christ. And he gives us this beautiful picture of vine and these wonderful grapes. This, by the way, is taken in the middle of a desert in China. They transport water 2,000 kilometers from a mountain, transport it underground to come to this desert so they could grow grapes there, because if you grow grapes in hot weather, they're more sweet. And so 2,000 kilometers of water just for these grapes here. But anyways, Jesus gives us this great picture of the vine and the branches. And at first I always just thought, wow, it's beautiful. I'm a branch. He's a vine. Great, great picture. Okay, let's move on. But as I study science and other things, it becomes a much, much more beautiful picture. In a vine, what do the leaves do? Does anybody know? Do we have any biologists in here? I hope not. They manufacture the fruits. How do they manufacture the fruits? Well, The leaves actually, sorry, it's kind of a trick question. Actually, the leaves do nothing. The leaves just sit there. The vine has a stem and roots. The roots go into the soil and they collect water. And then the water is transported up through the solum and phloem, and it's transported up the vine and into the leaves. The leaves then sit there and the sun shines on them. When the sun shines on the leaves, it splits the hydrogen from the oxygen, splits the atoms. And so the hydrogen and oxygen are split apart in the water, and the oxygen is released, and the hydrogen is then also released, but it's taken down, and this process creates ATP, and that creates the energy needed to make fruits. So the leaves, they do nothing. They catch sun, they catch water, but they sit there. Jesus says, we are the branches. We are the leaves. We do nothing. We sit there. We let the water come up. We let the sun shine on us. And this is how we produce fruit. So I thought, wow, that's a really beautiful picture. And Jesus says, this only happens when you remain in me. This fits very, very well with John chapter 14 here. In John chapter 14, Philip asked Jesus, he said, please, before you leave, just show us the Father. Show us the Father, then we know for sure you are God, and then we can follow you with our lives, we can do anything for you. And here in John 14:10, Jesus says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his, and I am doing his work. So Jesus says, I'm in the Father. When you look at me, you see the Father. And then the next thing Jesus says is, you need to be in me. And so he's saying, just as I am in the Father, you need to be in me. Just as everything, every work that I have done has been for the Father, for the glory of the Father, every work that you do needs to be in me. So how do we do this? How do we achieve this thing? Paul gave us a great example. So now we need to go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is encouraging the church of Ephesus, and in this he's encouraging them through prayer. And so, starting in verse 15, we're going to go to verse 19. Paul says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus was not for health, was not for them to understand everything about the Bible, was not for them to evangelize thousands and thousands of people. His prayer was for them to know God more, to be one with Christ. So our first step in praying is being one with Christ. Before we can do anything, we have to seek out this oneness. In the books that I've read and the studies that I've done, I've seen there's many different ways for people to do this. Some people, before they go into a meditative prayer, they will sing their favorite hymn and praise God. And they'll sing this hymn praising God. That way they get rid of all life's junk and only think of God. Some people, they will say all the names of Christ and just start naming Christ and saying all of his different names, all the names of God, in order to try to find this oneness, to try to find this this where God is, and come to God where He is, instead of making God come down to you. As a body of Christ, we don't have to look up to God when we pray, because Christ is seated on the throne right next to God. So we're seated right next to Him as a body of Christ. We just have to look over and talk to God and become one with Him and His ideas. Well, after we've gotten this oneness, once we are with God and His plans and His ideas, then we have a provision of strength. Go back to John chapter 15. Might be a good idea to put a bookmark here, because we're going to come back here a while. And in John chapter 15, we're going to read verse 5 again, just a quick review. I am the vine, you are branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. If you don't, you won't. You won't be able to do anything. All of your strength comes from me. When it comes to personal evangelism, evangelizing, telling others about Jesus, we have a big problem. The big problem is we are facing two enemies at the same time. The first enemy that we're facing is the sin nature. When we begin to evangelize somebody, it's like they have a wall built around their hearts. Because this is the sin nature. They don't want to hear what you have to say. The sin nature wants to resist. This is the ancient city of Jiaohe in Xinjiang in western China. This city is 4,000 years old. It doesn't stand anymore. But you see here they built giant walls. I visited this city. The walls are 10 meters tall, very high walls. Just like these walls, every unbeliever has walls around their heart. And when we try to reach out to them, these walls oftentimes stop our words. We can try to know everything about everything, know all science, all philosophy, everything that we can know, and we can deliver a speech, the most eloquent speech ever delivered before, and the person you're witnessing to doesn't care at all. They have this wall, and you can't penetrate this wall. The only way to penetrate this wall is to go over it. And how do we go over it? With the airstrike of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. If not, you'll do nothing. I often think of it as a man who's lost up in the mountains out here. And he's lost up in the mountains. And you want to go help, you join a search party to go help and find this man. This poor guy's lost, let's go help find him. But in order to relate to him better and understand his situation better, we better not take flashlights. Right? So that we can relate to him, we know his situation, we understand his situation, so let's not take flashlights, let's just go meet him where he's at and try to find him and help him out. Or, better than that, maybe we can find him, but turn off the flashlight when you find him, and once you find him, just describe the flashlight to him. Tell him about the batteries and the light, how it's both a wave and a particle, and if you shine it, it will break through the darkness, and you can be able to see your way out. Just describe it to him, don't show him it though. And that's what evangelism is without prayer. It's finding somebody without a flashlight. Describing this amazing thing without showing it to them. And so this is the great power of prayer. The strength that Christ gave us through prayer. Well, this city, Jiaohe, it has another thing around it. It's kind of hard to see in this picture, but the city was actually built in the center of a river. And they took all this dirt and land and they put it in the center of the river. They built it up 10 meters above where it's supposed to be, and then the water goes around it. So not only does this city have walls to defend it, but it also has a moat. And that's our second enemy that we have to face. And that enemy is Satan, the god of this age. And so he's positioned lies all around the unbeliever, lies that our words can't break through. And so Jesus said in Luke 16:31, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe a miracle. And so he's saying, the words you say, the words that we say, they're not going to matter. The great things that we do, they're not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is the Spirit and his words. So we have this moat going around, just like Satan, going around the heart of the unbeliever that we also have to break through. And sadly enough, I only have 21 years experience of evangelizing. I've only been evangelizing for 21 years. So I don't know every trick in the book. The enemy has thousands of years of experience. He knows every trick that I could ever make. So how do I beat him? Well, I have another story for you. And this story happened in the year 1346 during the Hundred Years' War. And the Hundred Years' War between England and France. During this war, there was a battle that's called the Battle of Crecy. And England was losing. Every battle they fought, they were losing in the Hundred Years' War. It looked like France was going to become the power and was going to even invade England and take it over. Until this Battle of Crecy. This was the battle to stop France's invasion of England. During the battle, France brought 100,000 soldiers. 15,000 of them were trained knights that had spent over 15 years in training. 15,000 of them were pikemen, and the rest of them all had crossbows. So they were armed and ready for this battle. The English force had 15,000 men, all peasants who had not trained at all. And so they were all inside the castle getting ready for France's invasion. Well, one man, he brought in a weapon. And this weapon is now called a longbow. And it was the height of a person. And he gave it to these peasants, had them begin making them and training on them. They trained for one day on the longbow until they could all shoot a target. And then they positioned themselves on the castle wall. The French invasion army came. And while they were grouping, while they were making their lines, forming their lines away from the castle wall, the longbowmen started to shoot their arrows. The longbow was an amazing invention because it could shoot an arrow 3/4 of a mile. And so while the French were completely unprepared, they were getting ready to march at the castle, a rain of arrows started hitting them and killing them. Soon they all scattered. They were all disjointed, disunified. And they ended up retreating, and England won the battle. That is our everyday battle. Our enemy has trained a lot better. He has a lot more forces than we do. But we have superior weaponry. And when we use the superior weaponry, that's the way we can win this battle. The average boot camp lasts for 6 months. Right now, and it's in order for soldiers to train physically, emotionally, mentally, get ready for the battle. For the Christian, The battle begins as soon as you join the army. You have no chance to go to boot camp, no chance for training. So, what is our strength? Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 6 tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Don't worry about your own strength. Be strong in the Lord. How do we do that? All through prayer. So back to John chapter 15. We get our last point here. Verse 6 to 8. We have, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus says, it was summarized great by D.L. Moody, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. Jesus says, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. But if you don't, not only are you going to wither and fall off the vine, but somebody's going to come pick you up, throw you in the fire, and burn you. So not only does prayer give us strength, but it also gives us purpose. When we're at one with Christ, we have a purpose in our lives. We have a goal to do. This is called the Kares. I told you water has to be transported 2,000 miles to make those grapes. This is how it is transported. 2,000 years ago, they dug this trench underground. It's 2,000 miles long. Trench underground, taking water from the snow-capped mountains to the middle of a desert so that the desert can bloom, can have fruit. And so they dug this great thing to make the desert have fruit. I really, really love going here and seeing this place because this reminds me of all of you. Doesn't matter how far away I am. I can produce fruit because I know you are all transporting water for me. I know all of you are back here praying for whatever I put in a letter, anything I write down. You're all praying for it. I know all of these people that I'm trying to reach out to. I know their walls have been broken down. I know there's been bridges built across their moats because all of you are praying. So Jesus gives us purpose with prayer. We're all part of this great body of Christ, and we all have the gift of prayer. And with it, we're able to do amazing things. Just like the pirate, we have an amazing treasure, but it needs to be shared with everybody. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, please teach us to pray. And how does Jesus teach them to pray? The exact same way that he did on the Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't change anything. The reason I believe this is because I believe that the disciples were kind of depressed about their praying. They're kind of disappointed. Every time Jesus prays, it works. When I pray, it doesn't really work. What's wrong with that? I don't get the answer that I wanted. And so they say, Jesus, please teach us to pray. And Jesus' answer is basically, I already taught you how to pray. And he says the same thing, but then he adds something at the end. He adds a parable about a man who has a friend visiting him, but he has no food in his house. And so he goes to his neighbor, knocks on the door at 12 o'clock at night and says, please, 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 I have a friend coming. It's going to be terrible if I have nothing in my house. I need something. Please give me something. I need anything. Just give me anything so that I can feed my friend. And Jesus said, of course, the neighbor's going to give him something because of his persistence, his willingness to knock. And so Jesus taught his disciples in Luke 11 not how to pray. He already taught them how to pray. He taught them how to keep praying and keep praying over and over again. Logically, it doesn't make sense. God knows everything. God is all powerful. I should be able to pray once, get it done with. God knows. Okay, move on. God's going to say yes or no. But biblically, God says, keep doing it. Keep praying. Keep going over and over again. He says, when you keep praying to me, you are telling me I have nothing. My hands are empty. You can pour whatever you want into them. If your hands are full, I can't put anything in there. If your hands are closed, I can't put anything in. But as you pray over and over and over again, you're saying, my hands are empty. Please put everything you can into them. So Jesus teaches us, keep praying. Pray without ceasing. When you pray, seek oneness with Christ. Be strengthened by his power. And make sure to solidify your purpose. Before we go on, we have to pray. Father, I thank you so much for just letting us be a part of the vine, letting us bear fruit, and letting us do your work. But I thank you most of all for letting us talk to you, letting us come to you with prayer, letting us tap into your strength, into your power, into your purpose, and letting us know you better by having a conversation with you. I thank you for this great power. I thank you for the great treasure you've given us and this way of dispersing the treasure. Thank you again in your name. Well, I want to talk to you about prayer because I'm really excited to tell you all about what prayer has done these past 2 years. Just quick reminder for some of you and for some of you new thing about me. God has sent me to China. If this is the population of China, this map represents the population of China. The yellow is the number of believers in China. So a lot of work to be done, but it gets a little bit worse than that. Because God didn't just send me to China, he sent me to the city of Xi'an. And a specific group he has me working with, working very hard with, is the Uyghur people. The Uyghur people are a minority in China. There are 12 million of them. Of the 12 million of them, 8% have heard Jesus' name. Of the 8%, 300 have accepted Jesus. So there is a great need for prayer. I feel that they are the ones, China, and working with them is what God has called me to do. God called me to do this work when I was 8 years old. I was saved when I was 5. When I was 8, I heard a sermon about Matthew 26 and going to all the world. And the pastor said, maybe God is calling you to go somewhere. Maybe the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart. As he said that, I couldn't stop thinking, God's telling me to go somewhere. And I didn't know where. But when I was 12 years old, a missionary from Africa came to my church and spoke. And when she spoke, I could see that she just loved the people that she was talking about. She cared so deeply for the people she's talking about. She cared so deeply for God's work. And I thought, if I want to be a missionary, I don't just have to learn how to tell people about God. I don't need to learn just about the Bible. I need to learn how to love somebody. And I need to learn how to love a people so much that they become my own people. And so I started praying and asking God, please show me which people I need to learn to love. And so as I prayed and searched in Valley High School, one of the required readings was Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I read that book and I realized God was calling me to love the people of China. And so when I was 12 years old, I knew I was going to be going to China. So that's what I worked towards with my life. I went to University of Northern Colorado. I had to go to a secular university in order to be a teacher over in China. And so I got a teaching degree, and I also got a degree in Chinese. And then after that, I went to China for a year, worked there for a year. God really grew me during that time and showed me not to fear, not to have any fears, but to rely on Him in everything. Then I came back and got my master's degree in theology, and then did my deputation, and then headed over to China. So God has called me here to this city in Xi'an, China. I believe it's a great place because it is central in China and has over 200 different universities in this one city. So because of that, students from all over China come to this city, and I'm able to meet them and work with them and reach out to them. I have these four arrows here because these four arrows are restricted places in China, places where a foreigner cannot live. The government will not let a foreigner go live in these places. But four people, from each of these places, have come to Xi'an, and they have come to my university, and they have accepted Christ. And so we have four missionaries in the restricted places of China. But it gets better than that. Those four places in particular, they speak Chinese, but they have a required second language. Their required second language is the language of their hometown. And their languages of their hometowns are 80% compatible with the languages of these four different countries. These four different countries happen to be restricted countries that Americans can't go to. And so my mission is not just reaching out to Xi'an. It's reaching out to all parts of China, and the end goal is to reach out to parts of the world where we can't go to, places where they can get. So back to prayer. We have one problem, still in Chinese. But I know you're all experts because you learned Chinese 2 years ago, right? And you all remembered it, right? Good job. I'm so proud of you. So, for those new people here and review, everybody gets to practice Chinese again. Chinese again is really fun to speak because it has four tones. So you can say each word four different ways and it means four different things. So our first tone that we have, we're going to do here, is the third tone, and it sounds just like it looks. You can see these arrows here. And so your voice is going to start, it's going to be at the 70 percentile of your voice range, and then it's going to drop to the 40th percentile of your voice range, and then go back up to the 60th percentile. So this word is pronounced ni. Okay, everybody try that with me. Ni. Beautiful. Okay. You're experts now. This word means you. So if you want to say you say ni. All right. Okay, our second tone here. This one's a little bit easier. This one is dropping. So it's like you're shouting at somebody. So a lot of times when you're in China, you think, wow, this person's really mad at me. No, they're just saying a sentence with all fourth tones. And so it's like you're shouting at somebody. Your voice is going to drop. So it starts at 60 and you drop down to 30. So you say, yao. Everybody say, yao. Beautiful. Okay. This one gets to be a lot shorter word also because it's like you're yelling at somebody. So we have ni, yao. Beautiful. All right. You guys are all coming to China with me February 20th, right? Okay. Then we have here, this one is our monotone. It's just flat, straight across. So you keep monotone. It's a little bit higher pitched than your normal voice, so it's about 60 percentile of your range. So you're going to say, John. John. Good. Okay, we have it twice. So we have John seen. Good. Okay, remember, we have the third one, Yang. And then the fourth one, Lai. Okay, this one's going to be difficult. We have the rising one. This is probably the most difficult one to say. You start at 30, and you go up to 70. And so we have huh, huh, and hua. Okay, so we have here, ye, huh, hua. Wow, you guys are really good at this. All right, looks like we have gift of language out here. Okay, any ideas what Yehahua would mean? Yehahua, Jehovah. Okay, by the way, I'll let you in on the secret now. This is Proverbs 3:5. Okay, and then we have Boo. Boo. Like you're angry, fourth tone, dropping down, Boo. And ka, e, kao, zi, de, chongming. Beautiful. Okay. I expect you all, next time I come here, I don't know when that will be, but you better all have this memorized. I'm going to test you all. Okay. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5 has been very important for me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. This has been important for me because there's a lot of people in China. In the city I'm in, there is 10 million people. If you go to just the train station in the city where I'm in, they have a moving population. So if any one time during the day, if you go and count the people, they have 800,000 people there. So there are lots and lots of people. And so my question has always been, who do I tell about God? There's so many people here. Who do I stop and tell about God? And so this verse keeps ringing in my head. Lean not into your own understanding. He will direct your paths. Well, I want to tell you a story about Bella. I haven't put her in any prayer letters yet. She's going to be coming actually next week. In my prayer letter, not to America. Bella is a student in my university. And one day I spoke in her class. I was just a guest lecturer. I spoke. Afterwards, she came up to me and she asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah. Why do you ask?" And she said, "Well, I had one person come a little while ago and he told me about Jesus, but I didn't really understand what he said. But you know Chinese. Can you tell me about Jesus?" And so this verse just keeps coming up over and over again. Trust in the Lord. Don't worry about who am I going to witness to. It's who's God going to bring to me. God's going to bring whoever is needed. The other verse that is just stuck in my mind. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This has been very important because there's a lot of need. And not only is there need for people to be saved, but there's also personal and physical needs. I have this picture here. No, it's not a blurry picture. That is the city that I live in. Pollution is terrible. This sign, by the way, in Chinese says, Xi'an welcomes you. So, really welcoming. the pollution index says, if the pollution index is above 50 in Denver, then the news sends out warnings and tells everybody don't go outside. The pollution is terrible. It's dangerous for your lungs. In Xi'an, an average day is 750. Before I came here, in the winter it gets worse. We were number one in the world. At least we got something. And we're at 968. So a lot of times you go outside and you're chewing your air as you breathe and you're saying, why? And this verse comes to mind. God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Doesn't matter what it's like outside. Doesn't matter how I'm feeling. God's going to take care of me. Here we have a classroom, and you can see, it's kind of hard to see here. This is a trash can burning coal in the middle of the classroom. We have no heaters in our classrooms, and so it's very, very cold. And so students can't write, so we burn coal in the classroom for students to have heat. But again, it doesn't matter. God will supply our need. Some other things. This summer I had an opportunity to go teach in a village. It was a really great opportunity, great experience for me also, teaching elementary school in this small village. In the village, they get water 2 days per week. And so you have to save your water for the other days. So 2 days a week, you can go out and wash your clothes, do other things. They have, it was the first time I got to wash my clothes by hand without a machine. Kind of interesting. But so, no water. It's very hot, like 110. Also, we were really excited about 3 weeks into the teaching because each person got an egg. And that was the only protein that we had the entire 5 weeks that we were there. And so there's people living in this village their entire lives. For me, 5 weeks, I can do it. No problem. You can do anything for 5 weeks. But living in this village your entire life, and I have to keep telling them over and over again, God will supply your needs. But it made me think about, what do I really need? Do I really need all these things I say I need? Or do I just need a relationship with Christ? Do I just need the oneness of prayer? And you've all seen this picture. This is Sally. And I'm so excited to tell her story. When I first arrived, she was the first class that I taught in China. And so I began teaching her class. And she became very interested in the questions I asked, like questions about what are you willing to die for. And so I started up a Bible study, and she was one of the most faithful people to come to the Bible study every single time that I had it. But for 2 years, I kept telling Sally the gospel, telling Sally different things about the Bible, but she wouldn't believe it. About 8 months ago, Sally told me, I believe there's a God. I believe there's something more powerful than me, but I still can't believe the Bible. And I said, well, why can't you believe the Bible? She said, well, I haven't seen any miracles. She said, the Bible talks about Jesus and doing all these amazing things, but I haven't seen any miracles. And God will supply all your need. Throughout the time talking to her, we continued talking, continued working together. She continued studying the Bible. And then one day, just out of nowhere, she called me. And she's crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I just finished praying for 15 minutes. And I said, what happened? She said, well, I was reading the Bible and reading about all of God's power, everything he does. And I realized, you're my miracle. She said, you came here to tell me about God. It's completely unexpected. I don't know why you came to China. I have no idea what you're doing in China. It doesn't make sense for someone like you to be here. But you're here, and you told me about God. You're my miracle. And so Sally accepted Jesus in December. And last night, actually, I was talking to Alice. And Sally and Alice were always on a team in the Bible study. And their team was, see which question can you ask to try to make Peter not be able to answer it. And so Sally and Alice were always working together. And one day, after having a Bible study in my house, they were going home. This was in September, Sally told me. They were on the bus going home, and they both were talking about the Bible, and they both said, we can't believe it because there's no miracles happening. Well, I was talking to Alice last night, and she said, I've made a step forward. She said, I believe in God now, but I can't believe the Bible because I don't see any miracles. And I was talking to Sally at the same time, and I said, you won't believe what I just heard, the same exact words that you said. And Sally said, will you please give her my phone number? I really, really want to talk to her. So already, God will supply your need. God gave exactly what she needed. Okay, the other one, Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, for I will help you. So there's need, but God is always there, holding our hand, saying, I will help you. I did see a rainbow one day in Xi'an. It was the first time any of my students had ever seen a rainbow. But one day it was clear enough that we saw a rainbow. And it's very exciting to tell everybody the story of the rainbow. And remember, God is right there holding my hand. There's chances to get away. You can't get up into the mountains above the pollution. And so just remember, God's there to supply our need. And some of you have seen this picture. This is Aisha. She is a Uyghur student, the minority that I was telling you about. Her story is very interesting because when she was born, her father wanted her to be aborted. But her mother ran away and had the baby. But then she couldn't take care of the baby, and so she's going to put her up for adoption. Put her up for adoption, nobody would take her. Until finally, the mother couldn't do anything, and so she just gave Aisha to her uncle. And so her uncle raised Aisha as her daughter. And so Aisha has always had this idea in her mind that she was supposed to be dead. And so she told me, I know there's a great plan for me. There's something great for me coming. I don't know what it is, but I know there must be something great because I'm still alive. Well, through the time with Aisha, I was able to do a Bible study with her. We did a Bible study for 6 months. But after 6 months, she had to transfer schools and went to a different city. And so she's now in a different city, doesn't believe yet. But 2 weeks ago, I got a message from her. And she said, there's something wrong with my life. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, ever since I stopped doing Bible studies and reading the Bible, I just can't be happy. I don't know what it is. I just can't feel happy. And so we talked more about it. And her parents are Muslim. And so there's lots of pressure for her to be a Muslim. She cannot read a Bible in her house. She has to go out and she goes to a coffee shop to read her Bible because she can't let her parents see her reading the Bible. But she said she will continue reading, she'll continue searching because she has to be able to find the truth. She has to find out what it is that is this great plan that God has for her. So continue praying for Aisha. I think she's close to making a decision. She just needs our persistence. She needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Next one. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. This one's hard. Because obedient in all things. Not just telling people about God, not just doing Bible studies, but are you obedient in all things? This girl here, I kind of fuzzied out her face, and I'm not going to say her name. Because she's a Muslim, a Uyghur student that I'm working with. And she accidentally sent a text message to me. It was to a group text message, and I just happened to be one of the recipients in the group. My name jumped into the list. But the text message was all about jihad. And it said that it was a quote from the Quran, and it said, after the quotation, it said, "It is our job to bring God's wrath on those who don't believe. Give them the choice to accept. If they don't accept, they have to die." When I got this message, and I'm teaching her English, and I just had to stop. And I had to check myself and say, okay, there's fear, yes. But are you going to stop witnessing to her because you're scared? Are you going to stop telling her the gospel because you're scared? And I realized, no, I can't stop. This is all part of God's plan. This is God's working. I need to pray, be strengthened by Him, and pray that the Holy Spirit will have great power over her heart. It did provide great opportunity because I was able to show the text message to my roommate, and who's also a Muslim, and tell him, "You have to kill me now. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to believe. So you have to kill me." And of course he said, "No, I can't do that." I said, "Well, you're not following your book then." And so it was a great chance to be able to talk to him, but also very scary at the same time. Here I have a picture of teaching in the village. When I was teaching, Xi'an is in the province of Shaanxi. Teaching there, I had the opportunity. I was voted as the best English teacher in the province. And as the best English teacher in the province, I got to teach the government officials of the province, the heads of the Communist Party. I got to teach them English for 3 hours. 3 hours, you can't really teach any English, but it's just so they can write down, "We learned English from the best teacher," and have a good show of it. So I went into the room, and I began teaching English to them. And I taught them for about 30 minutes, and I noticed all of them were bored and couldn't really understand anything I was saying. And so I said, "Okay, let's take a break." And then I went over and started talking to one of them in Chinese. He said, "Well, wait, you know Chinese?" I said, "Yeah, I studied before." He said, "Oh, that's great. How about we cancel the English class and we just have a chat?" And I was like, "You're the government official, okay." And so we started talking in Chinese and we chatted for a while. And finally, one of them asked me, they said, "You're Christian, right?" And I'm like, the heads of the Communist Party. But I had to remember this, "You're obedient in all things." So I said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And I was able to share a little bit with them. They weren't ready to listen to much, but I was able to share a little bit with them and just put that spark in their ears. So, obedient in all things. And for this, I have a picture of my roommate. His name is Johnny, and he is a Uyghur minority, and he's also a Muslim. He has been searching for the truth for about 5 years now. And he reads the Quran, he reads the Bible, and he's trying to find out what the truth is. He pretty much, I can tell by the way he talks, the things he does, he knows the Bible is true. But he won't accept it because it means he's going to lose his parents. He's going to lose any hope of working. He's going to lose all of his friends for accepting it. And so right now he's chosen to stick with being a Muslim. But this verse keeps coming to mind. Be obedient in all things. Keep working with him. Keep talking to him. Keep showing him what the truth is. God has a plan and he will work out his plan. And this one, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. There's a lot of competition in China and competing for people's hearts. We have Buddhism that has been around, since the year 300, Buddhism has been around influencing people in China. There is Islam in the West, people following that. But we have people like this, Daisy. You have seen her before also, seen her pictures before. She accepted Christ almost exactly a year ago, January 9th. And her parents are both Christian, but she didn't want to be a Christian because she saw a lot of fakeness in them and a lot of legalism and a lot of following just to follow. And so she didn't want to be a Christian. But then after coming to Bible studies and learning from the Bible, she realized this is completely true and I need to accept it. And so Daisy has accepted the truth and she has been set free. She doesn't have to follow all the rules, all the regulations that she's been given. She knows she has freedom in Christ and that she can just follow Christ. And here, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This one, of course, some of you might have guessed it. I have to tell the story of Andy. Here, don't grow weary. This is a normal day in Xi'an. I told you 10 million people. So you're just wading through crowds. It gets very tiring, as you can see. Sometimes food gets tiring. Here we have fried crickets on a stick. Again, everything's better on a stick, so you don't have to worry. But we have a story of Andy. I love this story so much because it has nothing to do with me. 3 years ago, I was able to witness to Andy, and he told me he is a Buddhist. And I asked, well, why are you a Buddhist? He said, because my parents are a Buddhist and my grandparents are Buddhists. And I told him, well, faith is something that's your own. It's not something that is owned by your grandparents or parents. It's something you have to discover by yourself. Right after that, Andy left the city. He went to a different city. And I had occasional contact with him. Maybe once every month or so, we would talk. But talking once every month, we didn't have much of a chance to talk about spiritual matters. But in December, I got a phone call from Andy. And he said he had always been thinking about what I said, that faith has to be your own. And so he went to a church and he began reading the Bible. And this is now Andy being baptized. 3 years of praying for Andy. Persistence. But the Spirit went to work. It wasn't anything I said. The Spirit just told him, you need to go to church today. And he went to church and accepted Christ. And finally, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. This promise, I have to talk about Olivia. 2 years ago, I told you about Olivia. When I told you about Olivia, I had tears in my eyes and I was very upset. Because I was able to disciple Olivia and talk to her 3 years ago. For 6 months, I was able to disciple her. But Olivia, after she was saved, decided she wasn't going to tell anybody about Christ. She wasn't going to share the gospel at all. She was going to keep it inside. She was going to keep her treasure because she didn't want to be looked down on. She didn't want anybody to step on her treasure. And so she decided to keep it inside. But through our discipleship, she decided, if I love somebody, if I really care about somebody, I need to share this with them. And so when I came back to America, she went home and she told her parents about her great treasure. Her parents immediately took her to the military camp, enlisted her in the army, and signed her up for mental reconditioning. I didn't hear from Olivia for 6 months after that. And after 6 months, I finally heard from her. And for the first time, and she sent me a message. I was here in America. She sent me a message and said, she's doing okay. She's in the army. She wakes up every morning and she's asked the question, are you still a Christian? If her answer is yes, then she gets beaten. Every morning, she has to answer yes to this question and get beaten. So 2 years ago, I told you this story and I had tears in my eyes. And I was very upset. I blamed myself because I had told her she had to tell others about Christ. And I questioned God. Why? Why is she going through this? This shy girl who doesn't want to talk to anybody. Why does she have to go through this? Well, we now know why she had to go through this. And now this is a very exciting story. Because down the road, the person who was beating Olivia, he called her into his office and he asked her, why don't you just say no? If you just say no, everything will be done. You don't have to worry anymore. You can feel better. And Olivia said, I can't. And he said, okay. Will you please tell me about Christ? Olivia said, what? And he said, I see purpose in your life. I see something that nobody else has, and I want that in my life. So please, just tell me about him. And so Olivia was able to witness to the sergeant, and he accepted Christ. A week later, Olivia went to see her counselor for her monthly counseling checkup to see how she's doing on reconditioning and everything. She went to the counselor. When she walked into the office, she noticed the counselor was wiping tears out of her eyes. And Olivia said, what's wrong? And she said, oh, nothing. And she said, it's okay. You can tell me. What's wrong? The counselor said, I just want to go home. I need to see my family. I need to see people who care about me. Nobody here really loves me. Nobody here cares about me. I just need to see somebody who cares about me. And Olivia now had been strengthened from that sergeant experience. He said, I want to tell you about somebody who loves you. And so Olivia then told her all about Christ, and she accepted Christ. They started a Bible study, the three of them. And another sergeant began asking questions, and he accepted Christ. And so we have Olivia's unit here. And in this army unit, there's now 5 believers all doing a Bible study together. I asked God why. God showed us. He's in control. Olivia got this medal when she finished her her duty. She's given this medal. It's the highest commendation for an enlistee. And she gave this medal, and then she came to my house, and she handed it to me. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "This is the highest honor." And I said, "Wow, it's great." And then I handed it back to her. And she said, "No, this is for you to keep." And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And she said, "I didn't do anything in the army." She said, "There were so many times I wanted to give up. I wanted to say no. I wanted to be mad at God. But every time I did, something strengthened me. I felt something inside me. And I knew that you had gone around telling people my story. And I knew there were people praying for me. And I knew it was all prayers. This medal is not mine. It's for all the people who have prayed for me." So, again, our power is not in the words we speak. We don't have some special trick. It's all about just praying. I have this movie I want to show you here. Some different faces, different people, and different things that have happened because of prayer.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
So in China, there's a great need. But we've been given a great weapon. We need to use that weapon. Before we close, I want to show you this here. Not only do we need your prayers, but we need a lot more people in China. Like I said, the city I'm in has 10 million people. I don't know who to tell the gospel to. There's too many. We need more people there. So that's why I'm here early, unexpectedly, is my team and I have decided we need to start an internship to get more people to come over, see the work firsthand, and be able to be a part of the work firsthand. And so we've set up we call it a language and culture exchange. You can't go to China just as a missionary. So it's, you go over as a language student, somebody ready to study the Chinese language, and we have the internship all set up that you will come and work with me and another missionary from ABWE, and the hope is that you'll be interested in China, you'll be able to report back to your church and tell people about what's going on in China, as well as hopefully some of you will love it so much that you can't leave. China needs more people telling the gospel. We also need more people praying. We need more people giving. God has called us to do a great thing, and so we just have to do it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, I just thank you for the great work that you've done. I thank you for just bringing people to you and doing the impossible, but showing people your great power and your great grace. Father, I thank you for all those who have been praying for China and the work in China. I thank you for their prayers, and I thank you for their calling on the Spirit and the power the Spirit has had in China and the amazing things that have been done. Father, please just continue to bless and continue to pour out your Spirit and continue to encourage us as we persist in praying. We thank you for this great strength and great power that you've given us. In your name, amen.